The black helicopter crowd notion.
The tyranny is always lurking just around the corner.
It's nursing. They're making crazy, but now they're right.
Black helicopter crowd really is upset.
The people are stupid and they're drunk. There'll be a revolution and they're going to lose. There are too many guns and too many people ready to fight them. I am a man of peace, but we have gangsters running this country. Criminals, gangsters.
We're normal. We see total criminal takeover, the death of freedom.
It is the most corrupt, degenerate criminal government in American history. I'm trying to awaken people, but look at the morons around you. They're zombies.
You're listening to Black Helicopter News on the Armageddon Records Network. And now here's your host.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Today we're joined by Andy Highroller. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how are you? I feel like someday I will regret that last name. It's something that I've adopted because of my interest in shitty rap music. Mainly Riff Raff, a.k.a. Jody Highroller. And, yeah, I might not be happy with that investment in a few years, but we'll see what happens.
Hey, he's signed by Diplo, and that's one of the premier...
He is signed by, yeah, Diplo and Mad Deason, and I don't understand any of the other music on the label. It all seems like... I went to an EDM festival, and it was 7 hours, and not a drum set or a guitar on a stage, and I guess that's the way the music is moving for the youths.
Less creativity, some would say.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Morrison, in an interview, Jim Morrison in the late 60s was interviewed and saying he thought that was the future of music, an individual getting to express their art without the confines of having to deal with three or four other individuals in order to create a concept, you know?
Wow, I never heard that.
Yeah. There's a famous interview where it's, I think if you YouTube... If you search Jim Morrison predicts the future of EDM or something like that, and it's pretty cool. Maybe you could drop it in.
I was talking about that this weekend, thinking a lot about it. The new generation's music will be, it might rely heavily on electronics, tapes. I can kind of envision maybe one person with a lot of machines, tapes, electronic setups, singing or speaking and using machines.
You know, we're so individualized in our society anyway, in our culture, so it's so hard to corral multiple people to be down with the same vision anyway.
It is, man, and one of the things that I find fascinating about that is cults. You know, like, I couldn't coerce 5 or 6 people to go to the movies on a Tuesday, let alone a whole group of people to get together and drink some Kool-Aid or something like that, you know? Like,
yeah, man.
I can't get 10 people to come to a comedy show, let alone move to Guyana, you know?
So today we're going to be discussing the growing police state. Let's dive right into things. So the Soviet Union, Nazi Germany, North Korea are some of history's most notorious police states. But in fact, the U.S. has incarcerated the most people in the entire world. And we're supposed to be the most free country in the world. Your thoughts?
Oh, I mean, the internet these days is filled with statistics, and I don't really necessarily know what to believe. But one of them that I found pretty profound recently was there are more African-American or black people, you know, whatever you want to be called. There are more people of the African-American persuasion incarcerated right now than there were ever slaves. So, I mean, there's certainly a question of which is the bigger injustice, you know. Obviously, slavery has its evils, but is our modern system of locking people up and making them slaves to the state and the system any more? I mean, historically, are we going to look back at this time period as we were better? I don't know. You know, it's certainly a question. And it is, the system is definitely unbalanced towards poor people. Like, the same crimes for one, you know, there's not a across the board balance. The same crimes for a white guy with a little bit of money constitute like zero jail time, where a black guy with no money will be away for 3 to 5, and that affects your whole life, and it keeps you in this system of poverty. So I mean, I think it's more, you know, as compared to Nazi Germany, no, it's not the same. I think it's in some ways more diabolical. Certainly, like, the extermination factor isn't there, but I think it's the extermination factor isn't there just because simply the way things are now is more profitable, you know? If you can keep people doing that, then, you know, in and out of the system, you make money off of them. I don't know.
That's a good point, though, that you made about the incarceration rate of African Americans being more than the slaves that happened. Dr. Boyce Watkins gets into it a lot in his speeches or talks that he gives. But, you know, and just moving over to, like, police officers, they're just following orders. They say that individual officers can't be blamed for enforcing unjust laws. That's like saying a hitman can't be blamed for just doing his job. What do you think?
I've grown up with the distrust of the police. I grew up skateboarding, and the skateboarding community has always been chased around and harassed by the police, essentially for doing no harm. And, you know... Shit, man. So the distrust started there, and I think the police state has definitely just grown and has taken on new facets, whether you want to talk about, like, something so simple as, like, the parking in the local community where you're, I mean, I think they're up to, like, $40, you know, for parking in Asbury Park if you don't pay the meter, where in a town where 10 years ago they couldn't pay people to come to. And there's been new facets of the police state, which are up there, the TSA, and stuff like that. And the eventuality is that it's going to get worse, you know? Like, there was the Boston bombing, and I was highly surprised after the Boston bombing that... because if a terrorist event can, like 9/11, can create the TSA, then if something happens at a public event like a marathon, then you have the... You know, by that line of logic, you can create a TSA-like structure for any public event. And now you're being swiped or sniffed or patted down to go to a sports game or any major, you know, any event where there's a large population. And that's scary. The logic extrapolated becomes scary.
Yeah, and they get to escape moral responsibility. And they don't like being filmed because cameras provide accountability. When in fact, it's creating an objective reference for all parties involved. So if they're not doing anything wrong, they shouldn't have anything to hide. And that they like to say to us a lot, right? So what do you think on filming police?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that say things that 9/11 was pushed forwards because certain parties were aware that everything would be recorded in a few years. So instead of having, you know, grainy footage of what happened on 9/11, that there would have been uploaded cell phone videos from people inside the trade towers showing you the video and stuff like that. I mean, that's a very broad answer to what you're saying. It might not even be an answer to what you're saying. I've had a couple of drinks. No, I don't know. You know, if it's about accountability at the right? It's the root of its accountability. And
they want to be above the law.
They want to be above the law. They are above the law. Let's just admit they are above the law. And I don't know. You know, when you're... It's definitely scary. It's all real scary. And it's definitely... I think, you know, there's the freedom, you know, freedom of the press. I think you have to re-examine exactly what press means. You know, is my cell phone video less valid because I'm uncredentialed? I don't work for a newspaper or something like that. I don't think so. You know, freedom of the press was created to keep a fair system, and I think that's definitely being attacked these days.
Grammy Award winner and platinum recording artist, President Zen One. His debut studio album, Philosopher's Stone, including the smash single, New World Order. President Zen One, Philosopher's Stone, the digital album, available on iTunes, Amazon Music, Google Play, and CDBaby.com. Get your copy today.
Pump up the volume and let the music play. President Zen 1 and new CD, Rorschach Test. Featuring the smash single, Project Bluebeam. Rorschach Test, available on iTunes, CD Baby, Reverb Nation, and other fine music stores. You can buy my new CD, Rorschach Test, and Philosopher's Stone, both for only $9.99. Check us out on Armageddon Records Shop or on eBay. I've got digital download cards of both EPs for sale, or just inbox us at zen1music@gmail.com. What are you waiting for?
Andrew Robinson here.
At Armageddon Record Shop, we've partnered with eBay to expand our operation. My goal is to find the best deals on the highest quality products and give them to you at the lowest prices possible. The New World Order wants us dependent. We need to be self-sufficient. Visit us at ebay.com/USR/Armageddon Record Shop. Books, video games, clothing, and much more. New items every month. Armageddon Record Shop on eBay.
You're listening to Black Helicopter News, your trusted news source in the alternative media.
Moving on. So, you know as well as I do, the government shipping in the drugs and using the war on drugs to lock up citizens in the prison industrial complex is nothing more than a money-making scheme, you know?
Right.
How do you feel on the war on drugs? Do you think it's failed, or do you think it's justified?
Well, the war on drugs...
justified?
The war on drugs has definitely failed, and I think that there's starting to be a mainstream realization of that now, and you're seeing that in states like Colorado and Washington and California, Maine. These states are starting to really loosen up or legalize marijuana, all with positive benefits, you know? The prison industrial complex has fought this tooth and nail, and the interesting thing is a lot of liberals and a lot of progressives tout the union movement, which, yeah, I understand it established and it built the middle class, but at the same time, some of these unions, the prison guard unions and the police unions and all these other unions, see, these are the people that are continuing to, you know, make this prison industrial complex stay in power. So you really have to look at, you know, you can't just go unions are good for America anymore, because there's bad unions out there, and I think that's very important to look at. And also, I think that the prison industrial complex, there's another one that nobody really talks about, which is the revolving door rehab complex, where these drugs are out there and people get into these rehab programs, and just like with other diseases, there's strong efficacy of other programs which are illegal in America because they work. You know, some of the shamanistic traditions and some of the ayahuascas and stuff like that have shown to really help people get off of opioids, and they're illegal in America. So there's a secondary industrial complex, which I believe is like the medical rehab complex, which is a big industry. Like, it's a very big industry.
Yeah, they just want a monopoly. They want to sell their drugs. It's just like any other drug cartel, even though more and more studies are saying that magic mushrooms, or whatever you want to call them, can help heal the brain of different illness.
I'm sorry. Ibogaine is the other one, where it's legal in Mexico, and it has like a 25% recidivism rate for opiates, and Ibogaine is illegal in America. But all indications of this program are there. It works, but it's not profitable because it's one-shot treatment, you know?
Yeah, unbelievable. I just can't stand that. And another thing is, I hate it, moving on to the police, back to them, I hate it when they say there is a war against police, and they use it as a justification for the militarization of law enforcement, when in fact, statistics say otherwise. In the last 10 years, police deaths are much less, much, much less than previous decades. And that's in articles in the mainstream media, NPR, and others. This just proves they're fraud and overstepping their bounds, and they're becoming enemies of humanity. Ever since the war on drugs and the war on terror, and I'm not saying all cops are bad, I'm saying the bad ones outnumber the good ones greatly. What do you think?
Okay, so I think when it comes to the police, you have tiers of evil, okay? I think there are some cops out there who do the right thing, okay? But if you want to talk, but all cops want to tout themselves as heroes. Okay, let's talk about heroes. Firemen are heroes. Paramedics are heroes. The Coast Guard are heroes. These are actual establishments that do good for everybody, and they don't seem to accidentally blur the lines into killing people and whatnot. Is there a war on police? I don't know, man. It seems to me like, I'm not saying there aren't good cops, but it seems to me like a good cop right now is a revenue generator for his town. Then beyond that, there's the cops that abuse their power. And then there's corrupt cops. And all this stuff has been around since, you know, the power, was it absolute power corrupts absolutely?
Yeah.
You know, and that doesn't, you don't need to be a goddamn king to be corrupted by power. Shit, man, you become the manager of a restaurant and you might promote the hot waitress over the fucking portly waitress. Like, you know, it's just human nature. And to think that cops are above human nature is just not plausible. You know, it's like, it's like with the Catholic Church, you know, like we've established now that a certain amount of the Catholic Church is just like child molesters. And then a certain amount of those, you know, other people who aren't directly molesting children are covering up for people who are molesting children. And then beyond that, there's the people who are touting, you know, religious ideology that's negative for the general population and separates people. And then there's the priests who are genuinely just out there doing good because they think that's their job in life. And I think that's the minority of priests, just like I think that the minority of cops who are out there doing good for society. You know, I think cops have to be profitable for the town. I think that's the least of the trouble with that whole thing.
Well said. I think that the police serve an important job to protect the citizenry. A very noble cause, and they should be commended. However, they've been transforming into a gang of above-the-law criminal thugs that are subsidized by the taxpayer, and road pirates, and in essence, welfare whores that are killing innocent civilians, especially African Americans, as we mentioned. So, man, I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think the inevitability of capitalism is creating two different tiers of society. Like, it's well established right now that the middle class is dying, so you're going to have very rich people and very poor people. And you need some kind of thing in between them, some kind of protection. Because when it becomes, like, the surplus population of the poor becomes too disenfranchised and too, they don't have anywhere to go, shit's going to happen, and somebody needs... I think the people in power are very aware that that is an inevitability of capitalism, and I think that they need a power structure in place to protect themselves eventually. And, it's sad to say, but, the Occupy movement started to grow, and then it was completely co-opted, and, you know, it's freedom of speech. You can't carry a sign anymore because you might take the stick off your sign and use it as a weapon. And if you're an organizer of an event, a protest event, and the protest becomes violent, then that can be put under a terrorist law. Like, you organize an event and somebody lit a building on fire. Well, that's terrorism. Now you're the organizer of a terrorist event as essentially a Martin Luther King type figure. Or, you know, like, under today's guidelines, people which we've celebrated, like Martin Luther King or Rosa Parks or, you know, numerous other civil rights activists, would be considered by today's standards a terrorist. You know, and that's not a good thing, man. It's not.
Yeah, absolutely. And it came out in reports that the FBI was planning on assassinating Occupy leaders with, like, single shots to the head. It's like they want to stop. They want to stop the voice of the people.
Let's just say they did. Let's assume that they did. Let's assume that the reason that the movement died was because they did, and we just don't even know about it, which is completely plausible. That is actually probably more plausible than the fact that the movement just kind of shit the bed, you know? That people involved at the top were... I mean, maybe you don't even need to kill people anymore. Maybe you just need to put, like, some drugs in their pocket. Maybe you just need to put some, like, naked children on the computer, you know? And it's done, you know? Maybe things aren't as rudimentary as bullets in the head anymore.
Yeah, you make a good point. And actually, I'm glad you brought that up. And I never mentioned it on the podcast. Yeah, I've saw articles where they said, and I've even seen in books, disinformation.
Disinformation is huge.
Yeah, and they... The government, the CIA, I don't know, whichever alphabet agency is in charge of discrediting people, what an un-American thing to do, or what an unhumanitarian, I don't know, what a scumbag thing to do, let's just put it that way. And they have more child porn that's logged and cataloged than any person that would ever have. And they would use that to blackmail people. And that's the sad thing, that they have the power to do that.
This is a side note, but I've always wondered about this as a comedian. So, like, I'm sure you're a guy. You're, you know, an adult male. You've watched pornography, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you were to tell me, you know, I'm into like women getting dressed up as foxes, or if I'm into like leather and stuff like that, I'd go, oh, that's kind of weird. I wonder if that same judgment exists in the child porn community, where like there's like straight like. You know, like I only like child porn where it's little boys in sailor outfits, like, and then, like, where do they meet? And then, like, I don't know, like, it's a novel concept to think that there might be judgment within the child porn community. I only like sailor outfits or Shirley Temple-esque child porn. I don't like that... you know, POV stuff. Like, you know, like everybody has their niche in regular porn, I'm sure, but I wonder if that, like, you know, I don't know. It's weird to think about.
Wow, that's amazing and very intriguing what you say. And you know what? I'm sure there would be. And I had no idea. I'd never thought of it that way. But yeah, knowing that there's so many niches within these different things
in regular porn.
Yeah. So it would not. Yeah, it would not surprise me.
I only like altar boys.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Our government is responsible for the deaths of almost 100,000 people. You really want to know?
Party members have been murdered, Chief Inspector.
We're interrupting your regularly scheduled program to bring you this terrifying report.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Jane, what more can you tell us about the Salomon Brothers building and its collapse?
New York, very much a city still in chaos. The phones are not working properly. The subway lines are not working properly.
The sky now black with smoke in front of us. Just across the Tigris River here. This is shock and awe, Tom, to the population of Baghdad. Shock and awe, indeed.
The people you liberate will witness the honorable and decent spirit of the American military.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
Come on.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
I love my dad. I'd kill for him. I'd go to prison for him because I love him so much.
I love Bill Clinton.
What does that make Hillary Clinton to the Bush family?
My sister-in-law.
When you are subverting the power of government, that's a fundamentally dangerous thing to democracy.
What do you think of Edward Snowden?
I think he's a traitor.
Obama is the one that kills the U.S. troops if the Russians bomb any of them. Obama is the one that put them in harm's way. Obama is the one using them as human shields.
It is the most corrupt, degenerate, criminal government in American history.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
Get up! Get up! Welcome to America, ISIS. This is what we do. Woo!
We got people that have taken your asses out in this building right now. We're armed to the teeth, and we're not scared. You got that, you sons of bitches?
In 2012, your agency was saying, quote, the Salafists, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Al-Qaeda in Iraq are the major forces driving the insurgents in Syria. Mm-hmm. In 2012, the U.S. was helping coordinate arms transfers to those same groups. Why did you not stop that?
Why didn't you come forward before? What were you waiting for?
Well, for you, Inspector. I needed you.
I suddenly had this feeling that everything was connected. We're all part of it. Are we ready for it?
You're listening to Black Helicopter News.
So, Andy High Roller, I was just on your podcast, and before we go, I want you to plug yourself and tell everyone about where to visit you online. But before we go, and before you give your plugs, is there anything else you want to discuss before we go? We discussed a ton at Kim Marie's in Asbury Park, New Jersey. We discussed a lot I was on your podcast minutes before this one, before you're appearing on mine. So we touched a lot of subjects today, and I got to say, I'm proud to know you, man. You're a good friend, man. This has been the most intellectually stimulating conversation I've had in a while, and one of the best podcast guests, definitely, hands down. So anything else do you want to discuss before we go? Any other topics you want to talk about?
Well, first off, I'm hungover from yesterday, and if you think this was intellectually stimulating, you should catch me when I'm fresh. I feel like I've mumbled and meandered my way through many points. What I would talk about, yeah, man, is I think that in this community, I think in New Jersey in general, there's a cultural void that happens because we are next to two giant cultural hubs, right? We're next to Philadelphia and we're next to New York, right? So any cultural or interesting people or people who have really great ideas or creativity aren't going to stick around here, right? They're going to go to Philadelphia. They're going to go to New York, not to mention the whole rest of the goddamn world and the West Coast, which seems to be way more progressive and, you know, enlightened than we are. So we have this small, or had, I'm not really sure what the question is, but we had this small cultural hub of Asbury Park, which we're overlooking now, and it's being bought up. It's being bought up by corporate people. It's being bought up by rich white people who wouldn't have set foot here fucking 10 years ago when poor artists moved to this community. I've been coming here for 15 years skateboarding, and it's changed, man. It's changed, and I don't think it's a positive change. Like, it seems like on paper, yeah, the town's making more money and the ghetto's being pushed back, but those people in the ghetto, man, they don't necessarily want to be there, and they need a place to go, okay? So you're just displacing a community at its root. But at the same time, this place is going to become too expensive for artists. And once it becomes too expensive for artists, you're going to wind up with Starbucks on the corner. You're going to wind up with Safe. Art should never be safe. That's rich people art, man. Gallery art is rich people art, and this town of Asbury Park is heading there, man. We're heading to a place where, dude, this studio apartment here used to be $500. Now it's up in the thousands. You're going to develop this town. You're going to develop this real estate, and it's going to lose its soul.
Yeah, well said. I've always wondered that. They always play the shell game, where they just try to move from place to place and push people out. And where do they expect the people to go when everyone is trying to do that major development and whatnot?
Yeah,
and trying
where does the ghetto go, man?
Yeah,
where does it go? I don't know. I think it goes to other towns.
But then they keep pushing it out. So, like, what's next? Exterminations? Mafia-style back shot to the back of the head? Like, what are you going to do? Because there's large portions, man, that just can't just disappear into thin air.
If there's anything, I think if there's anything historically that people have learned from the Holocaust or the Armenian Holocaust, which not a lot of people talk about, I think that extermination raises eyebrows. Now, of course extermination raises eyebrows, but at the same time, I think people have realized that extermination isn't profitable, and so they're not going to do that. There's never going to be, I mean, people talk about the FEMA death camps and stuff like that, but I don't think as long as drudgery is profitable that we'll see that. That's one of the reasons I disagree with Alex Jones. That's one of the reasons I disagree with the ultra pessimistic views of what's going to happen in America. I don't think extermination is profitable, so I don't think it's ever going to fucking happen. I don't. Not unless a major world event happens. But I don't know where people are going to go. I don't know where all the cool culture of this, you know, town, and even the culture of this town that wasn't terribly cool before it was here, the drug-ridden, crime-ridden culture. I don't know where they're going to go when they can't live here. Where do they go? It's a question, you know? I think it creates like a nomadic type of society, and I don't think that's historically worked very fucking well, you know?
Yeah, cultural extermination at least.
Cultural extermination, right?
Yeah, we're looking across and seeing the carousel, the empty lot, the high rise where there used to be the palace amusements, the old steam house or whatever that is, the shell of the casino, right on the border of Ocean Grove and Asbury.
Right.
And these are,
and it's next
nothing
to the,
like it was.
It's next to one of the richest towns in New Jersey. Deal is one of the richest towns in the state of New Jersey, probably in the whole tri-state area. I'm not sure, but I think it might be comparable to the Hamptons to a certain extent, which is one of the richest areas, obviously, in the tri-state. It's not, you know, like, there's lines, man. There's lines, and they're all artificial. It's all artificial. I don't know what's going to happen. It'll be interesting, though, I guess.
All right. Well, I guess that about wraps up this episode. I just want to say thanks for coming on, and you are definitely welcome on the show anytime.
Cool. Thanks, man. Yeah, support local art. That's really all I have to say. Whether it's comedy or music or even just drinking at a dive bar, support local art. You know, don't, if it's corporate, man, it don't really give, it doesn't care about you. It doesn't care about you. Get the fuck off the internet, experience the real world. And I know there's a little bit of hypocrisy if you're listening to this on a computer right now, but fuck, man, get out in the real world, see what's out there, talk to somebody, not online, you know?
Can you tell us where to find your podcast before we go?
Oh, yeah, it's on SoundCloud. Maybe eventually I'll get on iTunes if I jump and actually get proactive about my own creativity, but it's called No One You Know on SoundCloud, and it is mainly a drinking podcast. You know, alcohol still remains, you know, in my opinion, the best social lubricant, and just having a few drinks with interesting people and talking shit. Topics are all over the place, so it might be fun. It might not be your cup of tea, but whatever.
All right, well, I suggest you guys out there in podcast land check it out. All right, then. So I guess I'll see you on the other side, brother.
Yep, man. Thanks.
This has been a worldwide broadcast. End of transmission.